Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
Well, good morning again. Are y'all ready for the word today? First, I want to just say thank you to Faith Center family. In Lori and I's transition to back to Paducah, I don't know if you know that Lori and I grew up, this is home. We grew up in Paducah. In 2004, God called us into the northern land that I do not recommend. I saw this morning there were snow flurries up there. And but anyway, these last few months that we have been back and forth in Paducah, and we've been coming to Faith Center, obviously you guys know Pastor John and I's relationship goes way back as we served together at Heartland. But I mean, the first time that Lori and I came in here, we just felt your love. And you have no idea, Pastor, and this is my 30th year of ministry. And you guys have no idea. We started the awakening. Man, it's been 13 years ago, I guess, 2009. And just felt a couple years ago that it was time for a transition. We raised up a millennial generation. And one of them was my daughter and my son. And now my daughter and her husband is the lead pastors there. We handed the mantle off. And also we have a dream center that that they're over. And then my son and his family is here today, which I'm so honored to have them here today. And my son takes care of our worship team and leads that. And what an honor it is for us to watch online sometimes and to see them serve the Lord. That is an incredible, incredible honor. So I just wanted to first just say thank you for welcoming us, and it has been a privilege to be at Faith Center and to worship here. One of the things that I've heard Pastor John talk about a lot, really two words. One is ramp season, and the other one is new season, new beginnings. And so I just felt like that I want to expand on a new season that we're walking in. It's exciting to be walking in a new season. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't like change. But guess what? We change every day. We change every day. So change is part of life. You know the only difference? Some of you may not remember, I'm old school, but you know the only difference between Walmart and Kmart? When Kmart was going, you know, they had them blue light specials. Y'all don't remember that, do you? Kmart decided that they wasn't going to change. Walmart decided they're going to change every day. And so who's still open? Exactly. So new seasons are exciting, but new seasons require old doors to be shut. Sometimes we walk in it, God has us walking in a new season, but we want to hang on to the past. Because why? Because it's comfortable, because that's what we know. But as you walk with God, most of the time when he brings you into a new season, it will never be comfortable. He never calls you into somewhere that's going to be comfortable, I promise you. If you just look at throughout scriptures with the apostles and prophets and people. They walked in seasons, new seasons, that was never comfortable. So the totality of my thesis today is there are some doors in our life that need to be shut for a new season to begin. If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 3. We'll start here, starting in verse 6. Thank you. First, our Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 6. I mean, one awesome thing that Pastor John has done is y'all bring your Bibles. I hear it. That's awesome. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed and with believing with Abraham. One of the things I loved about this scripture and all through Abraham's life, and we're going to talk about that, is that this text continues to yell out new season. Now, we must see the history of Abraham to see the magnitude of how God brings him into this new season. And this will be our bedrock text today. So go to Genesis chapter 11. If you're going to the right, you need to make a sharp left. Go all the way to the first book. Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarah, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with him from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now, let's get some context here. Abraham's father was named Terah, which was from Ur. Terah leaves Ur and begins a new journey to Canaan, but he never finishes the journey, as we see. In Ur, they worshipped 79 different gods. One was Nana, the moon god. Nana, the moon god, means sin. So for Abraham to have a new beginning, he had to, number one, shut the door of compromise. Shut the door of compromise. Compromise is never justified by excuses. Pastor, I just can't help it. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do nothing. Ready for this? The Holy Spirit can't make you do nothing. So why are we, and when we justify, when people justify sin, their justification in what they're saying, they feel like that it's brand new. Nobody's ever said that before. But it's the same stuff. It's just like Satan. Satan does not have new developments that he's making all the time. It's the same stuff over and over and over again. Pastor, I would change, but listen. Anybody that has that, a but, in their sentence does not want to change. If I want to change, then I'm willing to do whatever it takes to change. Whatever God wants me to do, whatever people in my life want me to do, there is no but in a true change that I want to make in my life. It's the same thing when we walk in new seasons. I will do like Isaiah. Lord, send me. But I don't, he didn't have a but in that. Lord, just send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Wouldn't it be sad if we get, when we get to heaven, and the Lord said, I had so much more planned for your life, but you put in a but, and you weren't willing to say yes to that call in your life. So understand, if I want to walk into a new season and I'm not going to compromise, then I've got to be willing to say yes and however God leads me. How about this one? I've always been this way. My daddy was, my mama was, my auntie was. I've always been this way. Listen, then we don't understand the power of God. We don't understand the power of God, because when the power of God changes you, then you're going to walk into a new season automatically, because you're going to want what he wants, not what your old life was. We got to understand the power of who he is. How about this? I was just born that way. I was just born this way. We were born into sin. Okay? We all have temptation. I describe it this way. When we were born into this world of sin, because of what Adam and Eve done, we're born into sin, and we all have a tilt. Our tilt may be different. Our tilt is that thing of temptation that we battle with. But here's the thing. I was just born this way, and so I justify why I do what I do. That helps me justify it. But here's the thing. That's why the Bible says we must be born. So now I don't have a justification. If I truly accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and I was born again, I just didn't say a little prayer. I didn't say just a little prayer. No, I died to who I was, because you got to die to be born again. Sometimes we're not dying. We just want to get to heaven. We want what he has to give us, but we're not willing to give him all that we have. Relationships don't work that way. You're not going to be in a relationship long if all you're going to do is take from that relationship. There's a big part that Jesus did for us, but there's a part that we must do for him. He can't make us do anything. But we have a choice to make. If he's going to be my Lord and Savior, if he's going to be my everything in my life, and I'm going to serve him, then I've got to make a decision that I want to die to who I was. I do not want that life anymore, and I want to be born again, to have the power of the Holy Ghost inside of me to serve him and carry out the kingdom of God on this earth. So all this stuff of making excuses, I was just born this way and this is who I am. And we have a society that does not know who they are. In the beginning, there was a man and a woman. I don't know if y'all can handle this. I'm just done with it. Ready? People don't know their identity. Let me just say this. A man and a woman, God created. Has these people that don't know their identity never taken a shower? I'm losing my amens. Come on now. If I've been born again, I know who I am. And it's not about me or what I want. It's about what God's word says. It's not even my opinion that matters. What does the word say? Well, what do you think about this, Pastor? If you're already asking me what I think, then you're already convicted not to do it. I can see right now I'm not going to get through this message. In 30 years of ministry, I've learned the church has become experts on apologizing on an altar, but not repenting on an altar. We want to ease our conscience on the altar, but knowing all along we're going to get up from this altar and go back and do exactly what we've always done. Listen, that's not repenting. Repenting says, I am deeply sorry for what I've done, and I lay it down to you, Jesus, today. And I ask for the power to be overcomer of my situation. And I ask you today to be Lord of my life and help me as I walk this out. It's not going back and doing the same thing. I'm turning and going a different direction. I'm not justifying my sin anymore because I understand the power that is in me is greater. I have no justification for what I'm doing, but I can tap into the power every single morning. Seek first the kingdom of God. God, today, I'm empty this morning, but will you fill me with your power today where I can walk like you walk, where I can talk like you talk? How about this? Where I can love people that are unlovable, the ones that get on your last nerve. That's the ones I'm talking about. It's easy to love the people that everybody loves. Compromise is saying Jesus is not enough. I need something else because what he can give me is just not enough. Even today, many churches excuse sin. Which it says in the end times, they're going to go to places because they have itching ears. I want to go to some place that's going to build me up. If I'm going to go to some place that just builds me up all the time, then why do I need to get saved if I'm already good? I mean, if I'm not told the truth about God's word and what he wants for my life, then why in the world would I want to change? Because you're telling me how good I am already. Listen to this. We always want to justify what we're unwilling to change. Many in the church today has the Bible as a historical book, but not the authoritative, inspired word of God. So just live how you want to, and God's okay with it. The people that's standing in pulpits today that is saying that you can just do whatever you want to, and God's going to love you. Yes, he loves you, but he says he hates sin because sin put him on a cross. See, we don't understand the magnitude of when we walk away from the Lord and we do the things that we want to do. I don't know about you, but I was raised in church. Some of you were not, but I was. And when he said in Hebrews 10:25, don't give up meeting together, when did we think church was an option? Some people use church when they don't have nothing else to do. Well, I'll come to church. Today, in the church, people that go to church surveyed was that they feel like they're a regular attender if they come one Sunday out of four. Where did we get this idea? You know where we got it? Because we have lessened the expectation of what God wants from us. So now the people have responded to it. Which is not a big deal. It's a big deal to come together and fellowship and worship together to encourage one another. That's a big deal. They even put a name on it called Progressive Christianity. The Bible, they believe, the Bible is not the infallible Word of God. They believe in universalism, that no one will be punished in hell and that everybody will go to heaven. They believe in pluralism. No religion holds the ultimate truth. We're all accepted by God, no matter how we live. Why are they doing this? Listen, and this is throughout America, in churches throughout America. Why are they doing this? Because they love sin more than they love Jesus. This is why we are watering down the truth. We would care more about putting butts in a seat than we do expressing and teaching and preaching the Word of God and telling the truth and shaming the devil. When Jesus started teaching and he started telling the truth, the crowds went away. And then he asked the disciples, are you going to leave too? Listen, I don't know about you, but I need someone to tell me the truth. Don't water it down. Tell me what God's word says. I don't need a pick-me-up all the time. If I need that, then I can go to a seminar and hear that. I want to know, what does God's word say? Because he said, where I be lifted up, I will draw all people to me. It's his church. He will build his church. I'm not responsible for that. My responsibility, your responsibility, is to tell the truth of the word of God and then live it out. Don't be no Sunday person. Be Monday through Saturday. You should be the same in here as you are at your home. Y'all still with me? See, the Bible says you're either for me or against me. This is not what Jeff's saying. The Bible says that if you're a lover of the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. There is no gray area. There is no middle ground. I know we've tried to put that in there, but I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. If I love him, then the world will hate me like they hated him. It's not about a popularity contest. This is not going to be popular. But the truth is the only thing that will set people. How can we not tell the truth? Because people want to be set free. They want to find. People are looking, especially post-COVID. People are looking for something that is truth. Compromise and sin will not only keep you where you're at, it will take you out. It will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And when it gets done with you, nobody wants you. It's fun at first. But then, after a while, you look around and no one's there. You look around and you say to yourself, how in the world did I get this far down? What has happened? How did it come to this point? All right, I got to move on. Is Babylon, today's Iraq, means confusion. How ironic is it that it's still a place today of confusion? Abraham lived in a place of confusion. Most of us here today has to deal with some confusing times, some disturbing feelings, complicated people, hurtful relationships. One of the definitions for confusion is turmoil. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to shut the door on turmoil in my life. Like, enough's enough. Folks, not everything in life is a battle. Pick your battles. Pick your battles. When the kids were growing up, my daughter's room. Needed a caution sign on the door. I mean, like, really? So, instead of battling all the time, you know what I did? I just shut the door. If you want to live like that, fine. But I don't want to see it, and I'm tired of battling. And today, as a wife and a mom, I walk in her house, and I said, "Dear Lord." Totally different today. But I had a choice to make. Do I want to battle this? Or do I just want to close the door and say, you know what? I'm not going to battle this. Here's something that I've put in my life. The only thing I'm going to battle is morality against God's word. I'm going to battle that. But these other things, you know, like the stupid things. I do a lot of marriage counseling. It's like, okay, what's the real issue? Why did this argument start? They don't even know. It's like, what do you mean you don't know? Well, is this something stupid? And why are you here? We're battling things. Well, he just leaves the toothbrush out and he's got toothpaste all over the sink and he don't put the lid down. And socks everywhere. I wish he'd just cook one day a week. You could make an appointment with Christina this week. We may need 2 hours with that one, Christina. Stay where you're at. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." Do you know people in your life that just loves chaos? If there's not chaos, they're going to make chaos. You know why they do that? Because they don't want to deal with their own issues, so they put issues on other people and talk about them. The chaos is not about you, it's really about them. But they just love it. Like, they're going to have chaos. They're going to find something to be negative about and to gripe about. Or to talk about somebody else. I just challenge us to make up our mind that these people in our life, I'm going to shut the door on them. I want people in my life that will celebrate me, not tolerate me. I want people in my life that want to have a love relationship like Christ has with us. I don't want fake people in my life. Are you ready for this? Here's the difference. Some people in your life love you for what you produce. They don't love you. You will never know who loves you until you tell them no. Believe me. So, when you stop producing what they want, you don't hear from them. But when times are hard, and you cannot produce what they want, and they're still calling, and they're still checking on you, and they're still loving you, you know they love you, not the gift you produce. Now, I want to tell you a little hint how we can stop the chaos in our life and stop the negativity that comes our way all the time. And this person just, you know, when they call you, they text you, it's not going to be, well, isn't it just a great day today? You know it's going to be negative. They're talking about somebody. Let me tell you how you deal with that. I want you today to go to the dollar store or the Dollar Tree, whatever one you like. I want you to get them a gift card. And I want you to write on there, I love you, but I got to love you from a distance. Thank you. Goodbye. Which is, I call the 10th gift of the Spirit. You know, there's only 9. Some people, if you talk to them, they think they have 13. But the 10th gift of the Spirit is the gift of goodbye. I challenge you. Why? Why? We don't need to have that in our life. Shut the door on compromise. Number 2, shut the door on settling. It's the same in that text of 11:31, Genesis. They started going to Canaan, but they settled in Haran. The objective was not Haran, but Canaan. But Abraham made up his mind, I'm not settling for less. You've got to make up your mind where you're at today is not where I'm going. My God that I serve is a God of abundance. My daddy wants to bless me. My daddy has greater for me. My latter will be greater than my former. My daddy is taking me from glory to glory, not from pit to pit. I don't choose to stay in my pit. And when I do go through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that's not my destination. And we grow when we go through the valley, not on the mountaintop. But I'll tell you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you're going through the valley, he's preparing you for a new season. You're not going just to be going. You're going to see where your faith is, where he can trust you for your next assignment. So when you don't know what to do, I just challenge you to praise him anyway. See, the devil don't know what to do when you're praising God in the valley that he hopes to keep you in. In the depression that he hopes to keep you in the anxiety that he hopes to keep you in. In a house that's in chaos, he hopes to keep you in. Will you just quit?
Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, just start praising him and watch your mind shift. Watch that spirit shift in your life. I'm going to praise him because he is worthy of my praise. I don't like my situation. I want to come out of this situation, but I tell you, devil, I'm going to praise him even when it don't make sense. I'm going to praise him anyway. The Bible says God is always for me, not against me. He orders my steps. The devil is my footstool. Tell your neighbor, I'm not settling. I've made up my mind. All that God has for my life, I want it. Listen, we got to quit settling. We got to quit saying, well, it's just always going to be this way. We're just in this routine and we like this routine. No, there's more. But you have to seek the Lord. You have to seek him. Listen. Why are you going to settle for a chopped steak when he wants to give you a filet? I don't know about you, but I know which one I'd pick. I know. Do I have any single ladies in the house? Listen. This would only happen at Faith Center.
We talked about middle ground.
Single ladies, some of you. It's not a bad thing. Paul was single. He was able to do more for God because he's single. Some people are called to be single. That's a calling. Listen, ladies, don't settle for some boo who don't want to work and wants me to support him. When my daddy has somebody for me who will meet all my needs. Come on, ladies, shut the door to men who just want to take and not give. It's not, listen, don't settle for a man who calls himself a man but really is a boy and has not grown up from high school and is lazy, don't care about nothing. Do not settle for that. God has more for you. God has a better person for you that is going to meet your needs, that's going to supply for you, that's going to be a godly husband. Quit going looking in all the wrong places. God will bring you that person. You keep praying. He'll bring you that person. Tara settled. Abraham didn't. Tara means one who is stationed, one who delays. The enemy wants you to settle and continue in a defeated victim mentality of why I'll just never be more than I am. I'll never have more than I have now. I'll never do more than I've done. I will always believe what the negative people have spoken over my life. Let me rest there just for a second. What people have spoken over your life and the negativity they have spoken over your life, I want to tell you this morning, they did not have the authority to do that. Why? Because only the one that created you can tell you who you are. We live so many times in running that in our brain, it just continues to run and run and run like, I'm not worthy of this. And you know, I'm just always, you know, people have always told me that I'm not good enough to go there. And it takes so many good, encouraging conversations to block out the negative. But let me help you today, and that's where we get in this victim mentality. Let me help you today. If God didn't say it, you need to dismiss it. It's not truth, it's fake. They didn't create you, and they cannot tell you who you are. So today, I'm trying to tell you who you are. It's a new season. And a new season requires a new mindset of knowing, who does God say I am? He said, God does not make junk. You are worthy because He is worthy. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And it's not bad, and it has no limitations. Listen, the ones He used in the New Testament, nobody else would have picked them. You know who He'll use? The ones that will give Him all the glory. And sometimes, many times you have no idea the gifts that's inside of you until you'll say yes to the obedience He's asking you to walk in. Many times the gift does not come out until the yes comes. I promise you. I've experienced it in my life. I remember growing up, and they started wanting me to take up the offering. And reluctantly, I said yes, because I didn't like to be in front of people and all this other type of stuff. And back in the day, you take up the offering, and then y'all remember you come and stand right here in front of the pastor, you know? And so when I would come up here and stand, I'm telling you, I was the first one, had my head down. And I'm thinking, oh, dear Lord, let Him not call on me. Every single time. He calls on me, and I'm telling you, I'm just drenched in sweat. How in the Lord world is the Lord going to call me to preach His word? I had no idea until I said yes. Until I said yes, then I seen God start working in my life in a way that I never thought would happen. And lastly, number three. Shut the door on your past. Look up, go stay right in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. We shall be a blessing to people. Amen. I mean, we should be an encouragement to people. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. See, Abraham had to leave the past for God to reveal His future. He had to be willing to leave what was comfortable, what he knew, even some family members, to go where God wanted him to go. And soon as he did, the blessing of the Lord came upon him. Blessed him more than he could ever imagine because he said yes. This morning, we have got to shut the door to our past. Shut the door to your past. We keep living in a place that is not us anymore. Let me put it this way. And I'm closing. You know what that means? Nothing, but I'm trying.
I really am.
If you know the Lord this morning, and you're born again, then the Lord says, if you ask and you repent, then I have forgiven you of your sin and cast it from as far as the east is to the west. Then why are we living and talking about something that he's forgotten? Why do we continue to repent about something and talk about something that he does not have any idea what we're talking about? So the real question is, he's forgiven us, but have you forgiven yourself? Do we understand that the power of forgiveness, the washing of the blood through us, has the power for us to have a new season? Now, as we said earlier, it's not coming to an altar. When you come to an altar, you come to a place to die on, not apologize on. When you come to an altar, you better be serious before God and say, you know, God, I really mean today is the day. I'm drawing a line in the sand, and this is it. I'm laying it down. When you lay it down, it requires change in your life. You may not be able to hang around the same people as you always hang around with. You got to move away from your temptation. You got to find people in your life that's living a godly life that you want to live like. You want them in your life. You want accountability in your life. The people that do not want accountability are hiding something. In marriage, the man says, well, my wallet is my private space. The man or woman says, my phone is my phone, not his or her phone. And I say, what are you hiding? My phone, my wife can look through any part that I have. My phone, wallet. Another reason I do that is because I'm afraid of her. My wife don't play. Hey, we'll be married 39 years this year, and I'm telling you, I know. And if mama's happy, I ain't playing that game. But the question is, you know, before I move on, there's nothing better than to peel your head at night. Nothing better to peel your head at night with a good conscience. Because when we're not living right, one lie after another lie after another lie, and then you forget what lie you've had. And so your mind's already fixating. You can't sleep good. Your mind's already fixating on at night. What lie are you going to tell in the morning? Miserable. That's why there's no peace in sin. Just chaos. So there's nothing greater than to peel your head at night with an eased conscience and just thank the Lord for today and be able to go to sleep and have a restful night. The choice is us. The choice is, are we willing to make that decision? So let me ask you. In everything that we've talked about this morning and starting a new season, that means for us to make a new choice. The choice is, I got to answer a couple questions. Number one, am I truly born again? Or did somebody tell me that I am? Oh, I grew up in church. That's not what I ask you. I've been water baptized. That's not what I ask you. I'm a leader in this church. That's not what I ask you. Well, I think that's not what I ask you. If you was put on a witness stand today in a courtroom and you had a jury, would they convict you that you were a Christian by the life you live? What would the verdict be? When you're truly born again, are you going to be perfect? No. But your desire is to be holy as He's holy. Is that your desire? Did you come to that place that you truly died and you started walking out a new life, a new season that looks nothing like the old season? There's no more buts in my sense. It's whatever He wants. If Jesus would come back today, where would you be? If you would take your last breath today, where would you be? Do you know that we'll never meet like this again? With the same group of people. So this is a divine appointment. Today. For us. Somebody may drug you here. But I know the Holy Spirit's at work. And if you're feeling that conviction on your heart, today's your day. We're not promised tomorrow. Today's that day. If you're here today and you know the Lord, but there's some things in your life that needs to change for you to have a new season. We've all been there. Then in just minutes, I'm going to ask you to come. Because if we can't do it in here, we're not going to do it out there. So first, I just want you to bow your heads. And please, nobody leave unless it's an emergency. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure where I would be. If I died today, I don't know. Some sure, but I'm not 100%. I want to be born again. I want to make sure. I want to live for Jesus. If you're here like that right now, as I scan upstairs and down,
All I want you to do is this right now, I just want you to look at me. Thank you. Thank you. I'm scanning the downstairs and I'll get upstairs. Thank you. I'm just not 100% sure, Pastor. Upstairs, I'm scanning. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. I see you. In the quietness of this hour, I'm just going to ask you to stand. Prayer team, you can come. Just stand to your feet right now, everybody. In the quietness of this hour, no one leaving unless it's an emergency. Prayer team, you can come forward. Every head bow, please. This is your divine moment. Grace is in this room today, but there's a day that grace dies. But today, grace and mercy is here. Jesus loves you. And he paid a price, and he's given you a gift this morning of salvation or a new season. I'm going to pray, and the team's going to sing. And the altar is going to be open. There'll be people here. But if you looked at me to be born again, you're going to come. If you're here and you know Jesus and you're needing a new season in your life, you're ready for that new season, then you just come and say, God, I'm ready for this new season. Wipe me clean. Make me whole. And today, I say yes to that new season. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask right now, in the name above every name, Holy Spirit, move in this place right now. This is a holy moment. And God, I pray, as I know the conviction is upon your people right now, Lord, give them boldness to say yes to you. To say, I want everything that you have for my life. I want to be born again. I want to be set free. I pray this all right now. This is your time, Lord. Move throughout this place. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. We're going to worship, but if you looked at me or others, I want you to come now, because this is your moment that your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, team, let's sing.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.